Broadcasting life and truth around the world, you're listening to the best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We had a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I hosted Joe Dallas. We were talking about a miracle that was, well, tantamount to the parting of the Red Sea, AB 2943, not sent to the governor of California. This bill would have had dramatic and draconian implications for Christians, certainly Christians in the state of California. As always, the information that we talk about on the web, you can access at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The resource of the month, Paul, Apostle of Christ. It is a DVD that no Christian home ought to be without because it highlights persecution. And it is a very, very moving film, one of the best I have ever seen. And what I love about this is you see very clearly how the early Christian church was willing to face all of the indignities that one human being can foist upon another because they believed, they genuinely believed in resurrection. They knew that they would once again stand upon this earth in resurrected bodies with a resurrected Christ in a renewed universe. Again, Paul, Apostle of Christ, available for those who support the ministry. When you go to the website, you'll see other books that deal with persecution. We'll be talking about this month, also available for those who support the ministry. These resources, again, critical because we are facing persecution in both the East and the West. In the East, hard persecution. In other words, we're talking about places like the Levant where you have mass genocide against Christians. Some of the earliest Christian communities being eradicated through persecution. In the West, you have a softer version of persecution. And Mary Eberstadt writes about that in a book that we have offered before, but it is available for your support. If you don't have it, you ought to read it, Dangerous to Believe. Again, you can find that book on the web at equip.org. Many, many people were calling in during the show as I was interviewing Joe Dallas. I want to get to a few of the questions. One is from Kalina. She's from Blossom Valley, California. And again, sorry to make you wait, but she was asking about Margaret Sanger. She was asking whether I could say anything about Margaret Sanger. And I think that it is appropriate to say something about Margaret Sanger because it seems politically correct and popular today to fund the organization that she founded. Speaking, of course, of Planned Parenthood. And Margaret Sanger was a revolutionary who dubbed birth control the very pivot of civilization. In her view, birth control not only kept the unfit from infecting the fit with their unfit genes, but forged the human race a net increase, as she saw it, in IQ. Well, how is that? Well, through sex, mankind, she said, may attain the great spiritual illumination that can transform this world. And in her worldview, the ideal is always sex without the attendant consequences of having babies, and therefore same-sex sex is obviously an ideal. Sex, for Margaret Sanger, is the ultimate secret to eternal life. And in her Planned Parenthood world, the goal is to create a master race, a race of geniuses. That is accomplished through what she had a fixation about, eugenics. She envisioned a world that replaced Down syndrome babies with a master race of designer babies. That was her genetic paradise. Her theory of eugenics postulated that the best human beings were not breeding as rapidly as inferior ones, Jews and degenerates, feeble-minded. And so her plan was to identify those people and stop them from breeding through isolation in institutions or by sterilization. Well, quite obviously, her eugenic madness was out of control. And as horrible as it sounds to our ears, it was embraced nevertheless by cultural elites of the day. It is absolutely stunning to realize that support came from such heights as the President of the United States, Theodore Roosevelt. And research was funded in places like Carnegie and Rockefeller Foundations. And you had the research actually carried out at universities like Stanford and Harvard and Yale and Princeton. And legislation promoting eugenics was unfortunately passed in blue states that ranged from New York to California. And this was even backed by the National Academy of Sciences, by the American Medical Association. In fact, those who resisted were considered backward and ignorant. And unfortunately, we are yet paying reparations for this horrendous, horrendous evil. And while we're doing that, societies are once again re-embracing eugenics. They're thinking about it as enlightened and as forward-thinking. I've spoken about this in the Bible Answer Man broadcast before. But in places like Iceland, which is touted as one of the brightest societies, they are now aborting almost a perfect 100% of all Down syndrome babies. So if you're asking about Margaret Sanger, I can sum her up in the moniker that ideas have consequences. And her ideas had enormous consequences for civilization in the past, and they continue to have enormous consequences for civilizations in the present. Today you see an outrage on Capitol Hill over anyone who would dare to tamper with such organizations as Planned Parenthood, who would even abide the notion of defunding such organizations because abortion is thought to be hip. This is incredible. In an age of scientific enlightenment in which we know, we have visual evidence that abortion is the painful killing of an innocent human being. And when I say painful, I mean painful. And when I say innocent, I mean that this is not a human being that deserves capital punishment. And yes, it is a human being. And the fact is now readily apparent. You can see it with your own eyes. You can certainly see it in depictions in which the baby parts are put together again. So yes, this is the painful killing of innocent human beings. And because the reality is so stark and so apparent, well, the debate is now shifting. People are saying, yes, these are human beings. However, they don't yet deserve the status of persons. We live in a time in which evil is rampant and truth is so obscure that unless you love truth, you cannot know it. When we come back from the break, I will be going to your calls. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. In the meantime, go to the web at equip.org and look for Paul the Apostle, available for those who support the ministry all this month, the month of September. Be right back.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his complete Bible answer book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible answer book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible answer book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. My faith versus my job. My faith versus my social standing. My faith versus my future. For more and more Christians, notes Mary Eberstadt, such either-or thought experiments aren't theoretical exercises. They are constant real-life companions. Houston pastors were subpoenaed to turn over any sermons mentioning gender identity or the mayor. A U.S. Marine in North Carolina was court-martialed, discharged, and denied military benefits for posting on her office computer, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." The Christian Research Institute is here to equip you to act against the growing secular onslaught. Read Mary Eberstadt's book, It's Dangerous to Believe, Religious Freedom and Its Enemies. Receive It's Dangerous to Believe as our thanks for your support. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal. Just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Their faith challenged an empire. Their words changed the world. The very words of the Apostle Paul jump from Scripture to the screen in a major motion picture, Paul, Apostle of Christ. To receive your DVD of Paul, Apostle of Christ, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's take a live call. George in Tacoma, Washington, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, George.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good. I'm reading a book by J.I. Packer, Knowing God. And there's a passage in here that he's talking about the divine and human natures of Christ. And so I got a little confused on his chapter here, so I thought maybe you could help clarify it for me just a little bit. He talks about that at times Jesus asked questions like he didn't really know the answer, like when he says, "Who touched my clothes? How many loaves do you have?" And then he told that he did not know the day of his own return. But then in other times in the Gospels, he knows the Samaritan woman's past. He knows that Peter will find a coin in the mouth of the fish. He knows that Lazarus is dead. So I guess Packer is saying that Jesus' deity was not really reduced, but that his divine capacities were restrained. So I'm kind of confused on what Packer's talking about. Is he saying that at times Jesus decided not to pull into his divine nature, and that he decided to ask questions, or was he deliberately not asking questions to get responses from other people? So maybe you could clarify this passage for me a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, there are a number of things going on. I mean, if you look at the Bible, you can look at the very first page of the Bible and see God asking Adam and Eve, "Where are you?" This, of course, does not mean that God suddenly lost his omniscience. But in the case of Jesus Christ, I like what Paul says to the Philippian believers. He says that their attitude ought to be the same as the attitude of Jesus Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. He took on the very nature of a servant. He was made in human likeness. He was found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself. He became obedient even to the death of the cross, and therefore God exalted him to the highest place and so forth. So what Paul is saying here is that Jesus set aside the prerogative for independently using his divine attributes. And that's precisely what J.I. Packer is pointing out in Knowing God.
Right. So basically, Jesus would pull from his divine nature, as with the Samaritan woman telling her past, because that was a plan that he had at that moment for reaching out to her, whereas other times he asked questions because he chose to do that.
Well, look, Jesus Christ is at times speaking from the perspective of his humanity, and at times he's speaking from the perspective of his divinity. As God, he knows all things. So remember, he set aside the prerogative for independently using his divine attributes. He spoke at the will of the Father, but he did not divest himself of a single attribute of deity. And so as the God-man, the Anthropos, the God-man, he would have known all things. He would have known the thoughts of men. But Jesus Christ voluntarily limited himself as well at the will of the Father.
And that was his decision to limit himself, was based on what the Father would be telling him to do?
Well, no, it was part of what the incarnation is. He voluntarily set aside prerogatives that were his. He took on the form of a servant, and he didn't consider that to be robbery. That's what we're told in that great passage that I alluded to in Philippians chapter 2. So when Paul says Christ emptied himself or made himself nothing, it doesn't mean he surrendered his deity. Rather, it means he took on the limitations of humanity. So in the incarnation, Christ was undiminished deity. If Jesus Christ had divested himself of a single attribute of deity, then he's not fully God. But what you find when you look at the seven ecumenical councils that I alluded to in the first part of the broadcast today, you find that this is heightened and underscored, that Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man.
Right. Okay, well, that helps a lot, Hank. I'm really enjoying this book, and it's so rich with each chapter is better than the first. So thank you for that, Hank, and I appreciate your show.
You got it, George. And, you know, I can't resist but say that Jesus Christ claimed to be God in many different ways. For example, in Mark chapter 14, you have Caiaphas, the high priest, asking Jesus Christ, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" And Jesus says, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Well, the high priest, the Sanhedrin, knew precisely what Jesus Christ was doing. He was, as they would put it, a mere man claiming to be God. And what Jesus did was not lost on them. He was combining Daniel's prophecy with David's proclamation and claiming that he would sit on the throne of Israel's God and share God's very glory. So he was quoting from Daniel 7, you know, that epic passage in which, in the vision that Daniel has at night, he looked and there was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days. He was led into his presence. He was given authority. He was given glory, sovereign power. All people, all nations, all men of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, a dominion that will not pass away. His kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Now, again, he's alluding to that famous passage, probably in the memory traces of many listening to my voice, but he's also alluding to the psalmist David in Psalm 110, where David says, "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." So Jesus was claiming to be God. But the Bible also claims that Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. No denying his deity, no denying his humanity. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. Hebrews 1 declaring, according to God the Father himself, that Jesus is God. But about the Son, the Father says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and forever." And of course, the credentials of Christ back up his claim to deity, including the fact that he was able to lay down his life and take it up again, demonstrating that he was indeed God. I want to close with the quote of the day today from St. Cyril of Alexandria, Patriarch of Alexandria, Egypt, from 412 to 444. This was a very, very significant time because Cyril presided over the Third Ecumenical Council at Ephesus in 431. This was a council that condemned Nestorianism and also I might add, affirmed Mary as Theotokos as opposed to Christotokos, which was the idea that Mary bore neither the divine face nor the human face of Christ, but conjoined faces, and Nestorians believing that Christ was two persons. So this is a very important council. At any point, St. Cyril of Alexandria said, nature fell ill from sin through the disobedience of a single man, Adam. Thereby the multitude of human beings was made sinful, not because they shared Adam's sin, they did not even exist yet, but because they shared his nature, which had fallen under the law of sin. Well, the music is playing and we're out of time. I want to thank everyone that stands shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You're making a difference all around the globe. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org and look at the great resources there as well.
Well, thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of CRI, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you Paul, Apostle of Christ on DVD. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.